This is the Faherty Podcast presented by Farmers Insurance.
Thank you. Tonight's guest is one of the biggest names on the LPGA Tour. Christy Kerr won her first professional event when she was still a senior at Miami Sunset High School, and she's still winning tournaments in her late 30s. All right, her 40s. Just don't let her know that I was the one who told you. She was the first American woman to be ranked number one in the official Rolex World Golf Rankings, and she's represented the U.S. on 9 different Solheim Cup teams. Want a snapshot of how good she is? She won her second major, the 2010 LPGA Championship, by 12 shots. I haven't won a tournament by 12 shots since I... Actually, I never won a tournament by 12 shots. I was more sporting than that. Christy, thanks for having me and my little army, having us invade your home here in Scottsdale.
No problem. Yeah, it's amazing the amount of stuff you guys brought.
Yeah, I know, it's a big shoot. Now, you've got 20 professional wins here in the LPGA Tour. You've won in Europe also, but your most recent was the 2017 Sime Darby, and you had just inside 40 feet to win. What was going through your mind?
Mike Hattie Brady and I were just trying to get the right read, a simple just get something and go, and we both said a cup right to left, and yeah, that's the read, and I'm just over it going, get it there. And then it went in, and it was crazy. Felt like at that point, first in wins, and that's what happened.
How important was it to win at 40 and as a mother?
Pretty important. You know, I've won in my 20s, my 30s, my 40s. I have always said the golf ball doesn't know age, and to be able to win in my 40s and to reinvigorate my career at that point. I mean, I had a heck of a year last year. I won when I was 39, and I won when I was 40 last year, so that's pretty cool.
Well, you won as a mom, but you also won as a kid. Tell me about your first win against the pros.
God, if I can even remember that far back. I believe I was 16 or 17, and it was the Ironwood Classic in Gainesville, Florida. I was an amateur at that time, getting actually ready for Q School. And I was 5 over after 6 holes, and then that round rather got rained out, and I was so thankful. And then for the next 3 rounds, I just killed it and went out, and I actually beat Kari Webb by a shot. So I was an amateur at the time. I didn't accept the money, but it was a great experience to get a win against the pros when I was that young.
Well, you're just about to go past $20 million in earnings. You've won more than any other American woman. And I'm going to put you on the spot and see how many of your wins you can name in 60 seconds. Someone start a clock.
Long's Drugs Challenge, Wendy's Championship for Children, U.S. Open, KPMG PGA Championship, also known as LPGA Championship. Jesus, Vegas Tournament. That's as far as I can remember in Vegas.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. What else? Jeez.
Christy Kerr, now a 2-time champion.
Christy has trouble remembering all of her wins. That's only because there have been so many stretched across more than 2 decades of competition.
For her 7th LPGA victory, 3rd win of the year, Christy Kerr becomes a 3-time winner at Kingsville.
She's gone from rising star to world number one.
Christy Kerr wins her 2nd major championship and becomes the number one player in the world.
To crafty veteran fueled by aggressive play, paired with clutch putting. And at a time when athletes guard against showing any emotion, she's never been shy about wearing her heart on her sleeve. Your first win on tour was the Long's Drug Challenge in Northern California. What do you remember about that?
I remember just playing flawless golf for 3 days and then remembering when I woke up on Sunday morning that I had a 5-shot lead and I had never won before. And holy crap, I have a 5-shot lead. I went out there the first 9 holes. I could not get out of my own way. I 3-putted like 3 times in the first 9 holes, and then I played some good golf on the back 9. And I just remember, you know, having a 1-shot lead going to the last hole. I'm like, I just need to go to the bathroom. I need to go to the porta potty and just sit in there until I'm ready to come out.
And how long was that?
2 minutes.
That's quite a long time.
It is for a porta potty. But anyways, came out, striped it down the middle, hit a 7-iron out of the back of the green, and, you know, 2-putted for the win. And
what do you remember about that?
Just being really thankful to win that tournament. And then the photographer said, turn the trophy on its side and kiss it. And then that was the famous picture that was emailed all over Yahoo. Going to media, going, I just won a golf tournament. I was like, wow, I actually did this.
Let's talk about the majors. Your first one, 2007 Women's Open. Did you feel confident the whole week?
No, definitely not. I had an early tee time on Thursday, and I walked into the fitness van, and my knee, like, popped or something, I remember, and I could, like, barely walk into the van, and I thought I was going to have to withdraw. I remember just thinking to myself, God, this is the beginning of the end. I'm getting old.
Yeah.
hobbled my way through the round and shut even, and iced my knee, and the next day I felt fine. And I felt like this freedom because it was like I didn't even think I was going to be able to play the tournament. Mm-hmm. And it was a weird week with lightning, no actual rain on the golf course, but just lightning storms everywhere. And I had to end up, I think, playing 23 holes of golf or something on Sunday. I remember I took a nap. Like, after we finished up on Sunday, I took a nap, went back out there, was, like, groggy from sleeping, and I was exhausted from all the delays that week.
Yeah, you took a nap in between, you know, finishing, what, the third run?
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, what position were you in after three?
Tied.
And you were able to take a nap?
Yeah.
You were able to take a nap anywhere. You almost took a nap in the middle of that last question.
I really did.
Yeah.
And I went out, and, I played with one of my best friends, Morgan Pressel, in the funnel group in Lorena Ochoa.
Now, most people, when they win, they keep the 18th flag. Mm-hmm. And I notice in your trophy room, you've got the 14th flag from that. Why is that?
14 is a really, really tough par 4 dogleg left to right, very long. You know, just hadn't hit it great until that point. And I made some kind of move in my swing or my through swing, just trying to find a feel that worked. You know, I did. 17th hole, super long, dog leg right to left hole that you got to hit it right of the bunkers. I was so amped. I carried this tee shot like 250 yards, which for me, I usually carry at 235. I had pulled it just enough, and then Lorena hit in the bunker and topped it out of the bunker, and then I had a two-shot lead going to the last hole. And I said to my caddy at the time, my heart was like going like a rabbit.
While her U.S. Open win was filled with drama and close calls, her second major championship was a masterclass in domination.
Christy Kerr has just about played perfectly today.
There's no need to protect anymore.
Went ahead and ripped it.
There it is, birdie number 5. That gets her to 18 under par.
She destroyed the field at the 2010 LPGA Championship. You won by 12, the PGA Championship by 12. How do you win a tournament by 12?
I mean, it was a zone that I hope to find again, even if it's one more time. I shot 6 under the first round and then just kept going. Shot 3 under, 3 under.
Yeah, but it's really hard to keep going once you get, you get 3 or 4 in the lead. You don't know whether to be, aggressive or to, like lay back and try to protect that lead.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that Tiger did so well. He just kept going forwards.
I was in such a mental state of mind that week that it didn't matter what anybody else did. If I took care of my job, had a high percentage of commitment, like, I just remember only one shot the entire week where I didn't stare down my target. I just looked somewhere else, and then I hooked it left on Saturday on the tee shot, and I got so mad at myself, and it was the only shot all week that I had actually veered away from my target with my glance.
Mm-hmm.
That's a zone that I wish I could find again.
Get in the hole!
Mike. It almost did. If you're gonna finish, Judy, finish in style.
Well, it was a zone that propelled you, your second major, and vaulted you to number one in the world, the first American to do so.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. Was it always an ambition of yours to be number one in the world?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Always. People say to me, like, how do you know you wanted to do this?
Yeah.
I've always known this is what I wanted to do. I feel like I was born to do it.
If you could take a mulligan in life or any shot in your career, what would it be?
Oh, my God. Saucon Valley, U.S. Open, 16th hole. Tried to make the birdie putt. Was way too aggressive. misread the slope, thought it was uphill and it was side hill. Ran it about 3.5, 4 feet by, and it was a really tough par putt.
Yeah.
Hit a great putt, lipped out, lost by a shot.
That's the one.
That hurt for a while.
Mulligans in Life are presented by Farmers Insurance. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
In most instances, golf is an individual sport, but Christy shines whenever it comes to team events. It started with her appearance as an amateur in the Curtis Cup and has continued as she's played on 9 different Solheim Cup teams. In fact, Christy holds the top mark for virtually every American record. She's played in 38 different matches and won 21 points. She's as popular in Europe as the Brexit vote.
You played on 9 Solheim Cup teams. What does the Solheim Cup mean to you?
It's a blast.
9.
Yeah, I know. The last one, they put all like mini cups on the golf bags and almost couldn't fit on mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Like on a jet fighter?
Yeah. I think my first couple, I put a lot of pressure on myself, but then I realized it's an exhibition. Give the fans what they want. Go out there and play really, really great golf. And it's been a blast.
Is there a moment or moments that stand out in any of those?
I honestly have to bring up the last Solheim Cup.
Yeah.
Because we were 2 down with 2 to play, Lexi and I, the first match, and we're like setting the tone for our team. We're the first match going out the first day. She had about a 4.5 really slippery left to right putt to win the hole, to get us to 18. I said, just do it, come on. It was a really hard putt, especially under the circumstances. And we go to 18, I said, Lexi, I'm gonna get this in the fairway, you get on the green and I'll make it.
This for birdie to have the match.
And Judy, is there anybody on the American side you'd want to have this putt more than her?
No, this is the player. There's the putt.
There were definitely expletives said, and then, yeah! You know, and you can see in the pictures, there was like, yeah! You know, it was amazing. But I think the funniest thing was, this was just after Jordan Spieth had made the bunker shot, and he gets up and he throws the rake up in the air, bumps his caddy.
Chest.
This was like on Saturday, and Lexi and I were, I think, 2 up with 4 holes to go. I was walking up to the bunker, and I said to Brady, I said, if I make this bunker shot, will you Spieth my rake? And I like ran up there to see where it was gonna go. People said I walked the bunker shot in, which is not true. It's just that I'm really short, and I ran up there to see where it was going, and I made it. And I turned around, and I was like, where's the rake?
Yeah.
And you know, in those things, they have the official rakers that are like 60 yards
right.
back behind.
Right.
And so I made him go get the rake. And the guy's like, no, really, Brady, I can rake the bunker for you. It's fine. He's like, no, give me the rake.
Yeah.
So I threw my club up in the air, and then Brady came back and like just threw the rake over there. And he goes, I'm sorry, I had to do it. So it was really, really funny.
I thought that you were going to come up with the comeback in 2015 in the singles.
That was quite the comeback. You know, you play in this bad weather over there the whole time, and then you have no partner. You're playing singles on Sunday, and you know, I lost, whatever, first 3 out of 4 holes. And then I saw Julie Angster, and I saw Nancy Lopez, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I got to get out of my own way right now because I can lose for myself, but I can't lose for them.
That's what it's about, really.
Yeah, it is. And 9 out of 11 holes I birdied, and I was just on a mission.
You're undefeated in the last 2 Solheim Cups. You've gone 6-0-2. Do you still get as excited as you did when you first started in the event?
I do, but I don't feel like I put the same pressure on myself as I did the first couple times, because at the end of the day, you can only do as good as you can
right.
do. And it's an exhibition to grow the game of women's golf. When I started owning that and started embracing that, I just started playing really well.
Would you like to be an American captain?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I think I know who I'm going to captain against. It's just going to be inevitable.
Who?
I think Suzanne Pettersen. We've been always really good friends, and it's just a good rivalry there.
All right, Christy, this is the really pointless, even more pointless part of the show. This is rapid fire. Somebody somewhere start a clock. What's your favorite line from Caddyshack?
The heavy stuff's not coming down for quite a while.
Who should play you in the movie of your life?
Oh, God. I hope somebody really, really famous and pretty.
Last night at dinner, I found out that you love to sing. What's your favorite musical?
Oh, I have to go with Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Although Greatest Showman's pretty awesome.
Which of your wines would you pair with a 6-week dry-aged prime rib?
I would go with our Reserve.
Yeah. How about oysters in the half shell?
Don't do it.
Oh, disgusting.
I can't.
I have a general rule that you should never eat anything that looks like it might be in your handkerchief.
And I swear it's coming out every time I try them. And I've tried them 2 or 3 times, no way.
What are you most likely to binge watch on Netflix?
It used to be The Vampire Diaries. I'm kind of like a 15-year-old.
Did you go to your high school prom, and do you remember with whom?
I asked somebody on my golf team because I couldn't get anybody else to go with me.
That's pitiful.
It is.
What course haven't you played that you'd love to?
Royal County Down is one of them.
Yes, that's the correct answer. Have you played Augusta?
Have.
What dessert can you not pass up?
Chocolate cake.
Who's your favorite player to be paired with?
I mean, it's pretty hard to beat Julie Engster.
Yeah. Who's your favorite musician or movie star to play with?
Darius Rucker's pretty awesome. Movie star? I have played golf with Hugh Grant before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, that's rapid fire, and as always, you win nothing.
Christy's no-nonsense approach to life is perfect on the golf course, where she's single-minded in her pursuits, but it's also an ideal trait for the cause that's dearest to her heart.
Tell me about Birdies for Breast Cancer.
Birdies for Breast Cancer was formed a year after my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. So she got diagnosed in 2002, and in 2003, we started this foundation very modestly, where I still give money for every birdie and eagle that I make, you know, throughout the tour year, and people get to match us. And then, you know, as we started raising more money and sponsors got interested, we started having events. Through the events that we host, through pledges and donations, you know, we've raised over $4 million for breast cancer research, which, I mean, I wish it was double that.
It was so much more than golf this week.
Yeah, it was. I'm sorry.
You won last year for the first time in Europe, and it was particularly emotional for you. Why was that?
Well, you know, Kelly Keeney is one of my best friends, and her mom, Pam, was always like a motherly figure to me. She had breast cancer. She told me to go. Kelly told me to go. There was nothing more that I could do. And, you know, she passed on the Pro-Am day. I didn't even think that I could play after Pam had passed. Kelly said, she's at peace. There's nothing more you can do. And that was one of the most satisfying wins, but one of the hardest.
Yeah.
You know, you go, you put your face on, and you go out there and you do your job and you go, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not sabotaging myself. I'm not getting in my own way. I'm doing this. I'm on a mission. Mm-hmm. And you go home and you break down every night. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, but one of the most satisfying.
I played for cancer and we lost Cassandra and we lost a good friend of mine back home on Tuesday to cancer. I'm sorry, but cancer. I played for them.
Every time I felt like I was gonna fall short that week, I said, you're not doing that. You are not doing that, not for her. I did it for her that week.
And it's a big part of your life, your cancer foundation.
It is, and you know what? I'm tearing up and I'm not gonna cry because I did it for her.
I might.
And okay, I'm gonna cry. And I wanted it to be heard. I wanted people to go, you're gonna win a golf tournament for yourself, but this was God helping me do this. I still can't believe that I was able to do that for her that week. And that was how strongly I felt about Pam and about cancer.
Well, you're playing a huge part. You raised a lot of money for research.
And it's really, really sad what happened, but really happy in a sense because she's got peace now. She was really struggling. And I was very blessed and very proud to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, I think you should be very proud of it. It's a hateful disease, and it needs people who are in a position like yourself to be able to do something for research to do it. So well done, and well done getting through that question.
Thank you. I need a makeup touch-up.
More Faherty will continue after a few words from our sponsor.
Why is Farmer supporting my show? Well, I've interviewed over 100 guests, ranging from legendary golfers to presidents to celebrities. And just like Farmers is smarter from their unbelievable but true experiences, from each of my interviews, I've gained great knowledge that I can carry forward. Well, from most of them. Anyway, thank you, Farmers, for supporting my show.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
All right, then. Now back to the show.
Well, I had a great show with the amazing Nancy Lopez, and she told me that it was really important for her to, you know, be able to show her children what mom did for a living. Is it important to you that Mason knows what mom does or did?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important, and he does travel with us a bit.
Yeah, but it's hard having your family with you.
It is hard. It is hard, yeah. But at the same time, it's kind of given me a lot of perspective being a mom and playing. Like, when you play poorly, it's like, okay, you've got somebody to come home to that doesn't care how you play. They just want to spend time with you. But when you do win as a mom,
yeah,
it's the most rewarding thing in the world to have them run out and give you a hug. And when I won the CME tournament, Mason comes running out to me, and we have all these great pictures because I gave him the winning golf ball.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, the winning golf ball. So he, like, ran across the green, put it in the hole, and, like, 5,000 people started cheering. It was hysterical.
How hard was it for you to be a mom?
When I won the U.S. Open, we started trying, and 6 years goes by, and you're 36 or 35, whatever I was, and I couldn't understand why it wasn't happening. And, you know, my doctor basically advised us to either adopt or try to have your own kids via surrogacy. I said, I want to try to have my own kids via surrogacy. So 5 years ago, we tried to get pregnant, you know, with a surrogate, and was successful. We actually put two out of three embryos in, and we found out we were pregnant, and it was a miracle. And we tried, because they can tell the sex of the embryos, we tried to put two in at the same time, which we did, which was one boy and one girl. And we said, well, if we get lucky and we have twins, we'll be done. You know, at the 6-week ultrasound, there's one sac and one heartbeat, and it's like, yay, we're pregnant. Oh, but we lost the other one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she goes into the hospital with abdominal pain, and I'm thinking, oh my God, we're gonna lose this baby. We're gonna lose everything. And turns out they found a second sac and a second heartbeat, which they had missed before, which
You're
a
kidding.
Lot of people don't know. So we were pregnant with twins for 11 weeks. But they knew the second embryo wasn't implanted the same, and they said there's about a 10% chance of it making it, and it didn't. So it was like, yay, we're having a baby, but we lost the second one, to, oh my God, we're pregnant with twins, to, oh my God, we lost the second baby.
What a roller coaster.
What a freaking roller coaster.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, I mean, you're still playing so well, and now you're a mom. I mean, how do you pull off that balance?
I feel like one of my talents is being able to juggle a lot of things at the same time. And
clearly.
Yeah. Between the wine business, charity, yeah, having kids, family, being, you know, a wife, yeah, and running a home. And I don't know how I do it, honestly. I've always been able to do that. My mom's the same way. You know, she's got 9 lives, my mom. My mother's had a heart attack when I was in 9th grade. She's had Graves' eye disease, which is thyroid disease, which destroyed all the muscles in her eyes. She's had breast cancer. She's had, like, 4 stents in her heart. Like, she just keeps on going, like the Energizer Bunny. So I feel like I kind of take after her. And I just do it. Like, I do all the laundry in the house. I always do dishes. I clean up. I go out and practice, I make dinner, you know, I just kind of do it all. I don't know if you guys actually know, I had knee surgery 2 years ago.
You had knee surgery 2 years ago?
2 years ago. I fell.
Again?
I fell in 2016.
Same knee?
I fell at Evian. Like,
fist?
No, I was playing golf. And had surgery and had complications from the surgery. And in 2017, my first event was until Asia, so I didn't play the Bahamas. And I went out with this, like, freedom. Like, golf's not scary anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I went out and I won 3 tournaments.
When did you first develop an interest in wine?
We had a tournament in the Napa Valley, the Samsung World Championship of Women's Golf. And, you know, I just fell in love with the place. made a lot of friends with vintners and winemakers and just learning about it.
Oh, at dinner last night, it was pretty clear that you're incredibly knowledgeable about wine. At one stage, you had like half a dozen glasses in front of you, and you didn't drink that much out of any of them, but you knew you could identify each one of them, whether it was a Merlot or, you know, a French Burgundy or, you know, one of your own wines.
So a sommelier, I passed my level sommelier over a year ago. I feel like I've already forgotten everything that I've learned, but you should be able to, by the nose, and by the palate, there's a five-step process in which you can break down the wine. You know, there's called the deductive tasting method. So they teach you that.
You're really into it, I know. And tell me a little bit about your different labels.
2006 was our first vintage, which was released in 2008, called the Curvature label. And people go, well, how do you come up with a name?
Yes.
And sometimes you just sit around, drink wine, and you come up with a name. But it represented what we wanted it to do. We said for 10 years we were going to give 100% of the profits away to breast cancer research, and we've done that. Our second label, the Kerr Cellars, it's our signature label. So our Curvature label is going to be the one that we scale, which will have a red and a white. And the Kerr signature label will be, the Kerr Cellars label will be more specifically focused on single vineyard designate wines and be a lot less produced.
The wine business is pretty tough. You know, it's difficult.
It's very difficult. You have to create a website. You have to have a wine club. You have to do compliance, insurance, you know, figure out how to sell it in each state. Then you have to play the distributor game.
Yeah.
Because each state is different, and you have to know who you have to know and get the wine to who has to get the wine. It's all pretty complicated.
Yeah. You know, whoosh.
While the world of vineyards and vintners may be complicated, winning junior golf tournaments couldn't have been any easier, at least when you play as well as Christy did. Growing up in Miami, her home was overflowing with the trophies she won at an amazing clip, including 23 victories in her last 25 amateur events.
Was there a natural ability there or just hard work?
I mean, I think obviously my ability is God-given, and but I've always been priding myself that I work really, really hard. And I love what I do. I love practicing. I'm kind of the one more queen, you know? Give me another ball, give me another ball, give me another ball. Or practicing short game. There's a lot of demands on my time now being a mom and other things, but I really enjoy putting the work in.
And at high school, you played on the boys' team? From the boys' tees?
Yeah.
Did that upset any of them?
Yeah, the first couple years.
Yeah?
The first couple years I played against also Robert Floyd and Richard Turga and Eric Compton.
These are good players.
They're very good players. And, you know, who's this girl coming in and playing with us? You know, and they actually even tried to file a lawsuit to get me not to be able to play. So some of the rival schools, not the players.
Oh, okay.
I'm making that very clear. So, you know, that's when they started moving tees back. And, you know, my junior year, I ended up winning all three boys tournaments.
Yeah. When you went straight into the pro ranks without going to college, was that a hard decision?
It wasn't at the time. I mean, obviously, as we know now, I went to Q school and then played really horribly my first year and lost my card. But, you know, my father was a school teacher, and,
What did he think about it?
He said, you're either going to go to try to play golf or you're going to go to school and get a degree and go for 4 years. We didn't like, as a family, the idea of going for 2 years and getting out of school and taking a potential scholarship away from another girl, because when I came out of high school, there wasn't that many scholarships for girls available to play golf. So it's either go play golf or go to school.
Wasn't that long, obviously, before you turned pro. You turned pro at 18, which was a little out there at the time. It's fairly commonplace now.
Well, it was a great time to come out on tour. You know, I was still playing against Beth Daniel, Meg Mallon. I mean, Julie Inkster's still out there. Rosie Jones gave me such in the locker room. You know, she's like, make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, rookie.
Yeah.
And then she ended up being my first Solheim Cup partner, so that was pretty cool. So, you know, it was kind of a rude awakening for me, actually, because I came out, I was number one amateur and junior at the same time, and I thought I was just going to come out and just be a world beater, and I had an eye-opening experience, because playing against the pros is a lot different than, you know, playing amateur and junior golf.
You went through a transformation early in your career when you shed a lot of weight. I've had bariatric surgery twice, and I've always had a negative body image.
Yeah.
Struggled with my weight my whole life.
Yeah. So have I.
Yeah?
So have I, and it doesn't get any easier as you get older.
Oh, it doesn't.
I think I have a horrible self-body image even still. I was getting injured a lot. My back and my neck and everything was really bad, and I was starting to get bulging discs, and, you know, the doctor said, do you want to be around for a while? You're going to have to lose weight. You know, I mean, currently, I'm probably at least 12 pounds heavier than I should be, but that's because I drink wine now. So, I've always struggled with it. I think it's even harder now with the responsibilities of being a mom. And, do I walk for my job? Yes. But, you know, I should watch what I eat more. I should drink less wine. I should exercise more. It's a conundrum.
Well, you look very nice.
Well, thank you. Well, hair and makeup will do that for you.
Christy Kerr is the winner of the CME, and we're proud to give you this check for $500,000.
Thank you.
The biggest winner's check that you've made was at the CME Group Tour Championship, mm-hmm. and there was a 35-foot bomb on 15, then you eagled 17. Is there any feeling like playing with the tournament on the line?
No. Maybe chasing after my son, Mason.
Yeah.
Before he runs across the street or something, your heart gets going. I remember a lot about that tournament. I remember 17, I hit a 5-wood. In my mind, before I hit that shot, I was thinking, you can't miss it over here because you're not going to make birdie from there. You can't miss it over here. And I'm like, this shot has to thread the needle. And I did. I threaded it just perfectly on the green and made about a 12-footer, you know, for eagle to take a one-shot lead and then kind of hung on to a 5-iron on the last hole and didn't hit the first putt the way I wanted to. So I had a little testy 3-footer to win, but I was able to get it done.
What is the current state of the LPGA as far as you're concerned?
I think we're in a very good financial position as far as a tour goes. We, in the last 20 years, we've never had so many tournaments. We have a ton of international tournaments. I'd like to see more American-based tournaments. You know, you always get the old questions, well, why aren't more Americans winning? Why aren't more Americans winning? And, you know, I've been carrying the flag for a long time, and so we're outnumbered. We are an international tour. Americans are not the majority anymore.
Yeah, I mean, is there something about the LPGA that you wish was highlighted more in the media?
We got a lot of really great people on our tour, a lot of really great players, and I just don't feel like our stories are told enough. I don't feel like, I mean, everything revolves around money, right? Money for marketing, money for sponsorship, money, you know. I feel like, and I agree with Julie Inkster on this, that a lot of companies that spend money in men's golf do not spend money in women's golf. And I feel like that could change maybe 10%. It'd be a huge difference to our tour.
A lot's made about the men at the top of the sport at the moment and how much they like each other and how much they sort of celebrate with each other. Paula Creamer charged onto the green not so long ago with a bottle of champagne, spraying you with it. Is there the same sort of camaraderie among the ladies?
You know, I'm not on the men's tour. I don't really see what they do. But, you know, a lot of us were like this in the beginning because women are really competitive with one another.
Yeah.
It's just who we are, you know, as women. And I think you grow into the roles of friendship over time. I have a lot of really great friends now, and I go out for them when they win. They go out for me when I win. And, you know, Morgan's always been there, Natalie Golbus, Paula, Lexi. A lot of players support each other more now. They understand the need for it. They understand the purpose of it than when I first came out on tour.
Christy, I've enjoyed every minute of last night and today. Thank you so much for having me and my crew here.
Well, thank you for coming.
Christy's life in golf is like the second act of a four-part trilogy. There was a young phenomenon looking to make her mark, the LPGA superstar carrying the banner as America's best player. And now, something harder to define, the tour star still annoying the youngsters, but also living a life that's full of friends and family and business and alcoholic beverages. If you're feeling rather stalkerish, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, at FeherTwit, or playing ping pong with a spatula against Roger Maltby.
Good night, Stephen. Thanks for joining me, Feherty fans. You can find more of the Feherty podcast presented by Farmers Insurance on Feherty.com and your favorite podcast provider. Go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Art19, or Google Play. Search Feherty and subscribe. If you love the show, and why wouldn't you? Be sure to leave a rating, review, and tell your friends.